just going to call this quickly. Just let me know if there are people who are no longer here, and we have a new colleague as well. Colleague, is that the right word? So is that the right word?
Talman?
He's a colleague, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm not that one. Azriel Fine?
Yeah.
Moshe Rothman? Adam Barash? Jakob Schiff? Jakob here? Is he okay?
Hi, was Jakob this morning?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Jonathan Melman. Okay. Micah Hayden.
Yeah.
Okay. Avram Wine. Again, I haven't done this in a while, so I have to do it more often. Josh Kaufman. Joey Rubin. Joey here. Actually, around there. Are you here? Joey. Okay. Yakir Foreman. Jonathan Karp. Eliezer Schultz. We're next, right? Ari Kamenetsky, Yehuda Goldberg, Aaron Schwartzmessing, Isaac Schulman. Okay, got it. Shua Katz. Okay. Yehuda Fogel. Is Yehuda here? Is he here? Okay. Hilla Lerner. Okay. Shmuel Reichman. Shmuel here? Around there? No? Eitan Lipsky? Adam Heimowitz? Adam here? David Mandelbaum? Enough in the world? I'll call myself alone and feel better. Avi Reich? Here? Arya Klein? Okay. Moshe Rosenzweig? Jakey Bork? Kaim Rosenzweig? Michael Hurt. Okay. Avrami Schoenbrum. I still have a number of people to meet with, I see. Moshe Spurn. Oh, sorry. Ariel Reiner. Josh Shilowitz. Gershon David Beer. Be here? Yeah, okay. We'll see him. Yoni Zolti. Okay. Yair Strachman. Well, there you are. Yeah, I couldn't see because of the sun. Eitan Stern. Okay. Noah Shapiro. We have to start with you, right? David Rubenstein. Okay, Yitzi Scheinman. Okay, tell him we said before that the whole shiur voted him a unanimous Rafur Schleim. Mordechai Isaac Rosenfeld. Okay, did I say it right? Good, better. Okay. Yoni Kadish. Yoni. Moshe Wilner. You see? Where are you? Oh, there you are. Sorry. Okay. Yosef Press. We also have to catch up, right? Avi Ennis. Okay. Alex Selesny. Avi Rabinovich. Shua Brick. There he is. Okay. Akiva Rosenzweig. Three Rosenzweigs, wow. Have we ever had more than three Rosenzweigs? I'm trying to remember.
There's supposed to be a fourth.
What? There is supposed to be a fourth, right? The rumors are that he's, you know, he's coming. He's coming. oh, yeah, think about that. David Weitz? David? You're not feeling well? Okay, tell him I said hello. Ellie Weiss? Okay. And we have to mention you also this morning, right?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Okay, good. Yaakov Edinger. Did I say it right? So it's not Ettinger, it's Edinger. Or is it pronounced Edinger even though it's written Edinger? Edinger. Okay. Okay, so anybody else who is here and, you know, and is going to be here, you know, should just, come by and... Well, yeah, I mentioned you before. Well, you weren't here when I mentioned you, but you're on the list. Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have a list if you weren't on. Right? Right? Okay. Okay, good. So today I wanted to start with the beginning, but just a couple of quickies before we get there. So Ellie brought to my attention just a few quick ha'aros. We were discussing, you know, basically what we did, which took a little longer than, you know, sometimes. But we've been discussing the shita of a large swath of Rishonim and Poskim on the matters of Kadesha and Pilegesh. Right? So we discussed thoroughly. There's more always to talk about, but the Rambam, the Raivid, the Ramban, it's much to talk about the Chinuch. I think I mentioned how the Chinuch, redefines and kind of integrates the Ramban and the Rambam, but I think Yesh Makom Lachlok, Rashi, Rajbam, from Sajagon, Unklos, I want to say one thing more about, Ben Yona, the Rivosh, the Radvaz, right, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Magen Mishnah, Kessel Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, Gra. We've done quite a bit of, and that's taken a little bit of time. But one of the things we've tried to show is that, you know, there are obviously machloksim on particular points, specific points. And what we've been trying to do is also to try to identify whether, you know, these specific points of machlokas also reflect a broader argument about the nature of Yisur Kadesha, whether it's a Hilkos Ishus issue, a Yisur Bia issue, or, you know, kind of a, you know, to prevent more, you know, did a bezdin, you know, institutional aznus, the problem of actual messing up of yuchsin, right? The idea of gmar bia and so on. These are the issues that we've been trying to identify. That's why when I said that the chinuch, I think, revises my understanding of the Ramban when you put all the Rambans together, not in any of the details. There's not anything that the Chinuch, you know, represents of the Ramban, I think that is technically inaccurate. I just think that conceptually what the Ramban is projecting is that the Maisabia part is, in this particular case, something that reinforces the institutional part. The Chiddush of the Ramban is that there's a din in Bezdin and there's a din in the father. And when he says that the parties themselves also violate, it's because they too, I mean, more than anyone else, are contributing to undermining Jewish society, you know, in this way. And my opinion, the Chinuch kind of just, because he was trying to integrate it with his understanding of the Rambam, just saw the whole thing in exactly the opposite way. Namely, that really this is an Yisurei Bia, albeit of a certain level of znus, the primary violators are the actors, but the Torah wrote it in such a way to expand it a little bit, and that's why, again, in the end of the Chinuch, he just says, like, yeah, of course, anybody who, you know, certainly any leader and anybody who has the ability to, like, put their foot down, you know, and doesn't, you know, is kind of, supporting, you know, this unacceptable behavior. So for him, as I say, it's the exact opposite emphasis. But anyway, these are the Rishonim that we've been discussing. So among them, Rashi, who understands Kadesh in a certain way, Mizumenes Umufkeres, and understands Kadesh that way too, but based on the Gemara Yavamos, thinks that Kadesh is a reference to Mishkav Zachar, and the Ramban basically says, well, if that's really the case, so isn't this totally superfluous, because Mishkav Zachar is always Asur under all conditions, and that's a Dabar Barer. So what I was trying to say was, yes, but there's also an overlap, and that maybe what Rashi has in mind is an interesting Chiddush, and that is that you're on each of the gender side, you're taking that which is most promiscuous, or most represents the erosion of tznius and standards in society. So in the case of the women, that is Mufkeres, you know, Lekol. And in the case of the men, unlike the Rajbam, who again ignores the Gemara and says, well, you know, really two sides of the same coin, it's Mishkav Zachar. So there are two dinim of Mishkav Zachar. There's a din of the Iser Maisadeira, but there's also this other component. That's how I was interpreting it. So Eli has a suggestion that if you look at the language of Rashi, kind of a sensational suggestion, but one worth thinking about. Namely, Eli?
Rashi never mentions any
Mitzvah. Yeah. So it could be that he thinks that you're over on this, or just by being a Zuma, because there's no Mitzvah. Right. Is it possible that Rashi is saying here that you know, that mufkeres u'mezumenes isn't just a shir and a gavra, you know, and which you know makes it an erosion for society or a different level of ma'isa chomer isurei bia for the parties, but that what he's really saying is that when somebody, you know, is mufkeres u'mezumenes, right, that even if there's no result in the end, right, that kind of, you know, activity, setting up that kind of a structure or situation is itself a violation of Kodesh and Kodesh. So I don't know that of course it'd be no Malkus, and again, it might not be Malkus according to the Ramban either, frankly. Again, the Rambam Shita on Malkus, we were able to put down better. So that is, I think, a very intriguing notion, an idea, something very much to think about. Regarding Unklus, let me say something else. I mentioned that everybody tries to co-opt, you know, Unklus. Everybody tries to co-opt the Ravid. Everybody tries to co-opt, you know. Again, you'd want these people on your side, you know. And you'd be insane not to want them on your side. So Unklus, who came up with this very intriguing view about, you know, Eben and Shifcha, it's hard to know what he had in mind. But mostly Rashi, Ramban is saying, oh, he's you know, that's exactly what we mean. Because everybody understands that that's a relationship outside of Isha, such a Chilul Hashem. And, you know, it represents the erosion and the breakdown of Tznius and Kedusha, you know, in Jewish society. Rashi, who may think that it's Mufkeres u'mezumenes, right, and it's certainly not a bin Bezdin, etc., you know, probably thinks that the Pshat in Unklus, which he's also quoting approvingly, is that, you know, when you have people who are mufka mi kedusha, they're not just mufka mi ishus, it's more than that. Like, there's a certain, again, association, connotation here of mufkeres u'mezumenes by definition. This, the illicitness of this relationship is what establishes it, not just as isurei bia, but as something which is a kind of kedesha. But what's interesting is that the Ramach, in his Hasagos on the Rambam, just understands Unklus in the narrowest possible fashion and says, well, there is no other pasuk which explicitly excludes a relationship between an Eved or a Shivcha. So maybe that's what the words Kadesh and Kadesha, according to Unklus, mean. Meaning, instead of saying, oh, but why do we call it Kadesh and Kadesha? Why don't we do what we normally would do, which is, you know, identify, you know, in a more explicit way what this is. In other words, the challenge of the Pasuk and of the Din of Kadesh and Kadesha is really threefold, right? It is, you know, lo siya, lo yiya, you know, as the Ramban points out. It's Bibnos Yisrael, as the Ramban points out, what, you know, do we think that we're talking about Uma Acheres? And the third one is the designation itself of Kadesh and Kadesha, because why not just say that, you know, we're referring to Chayve Lavin, Chayve Krisus, Mishena Tofes Kedusha Bahem, you know, Panu Yabala Pnuya, right? And again, that doesn't have to be a fatal question, but it's certainly something to ask and something which might lead you to think that, you know, that there's another Mechayiv here. And especially if you take the view of, again, what are the words Kadesh and Kadesha really mean in the end of the day? So again, Mizumenes Mufkeres, okay, that already highlights a certain, is it just a description of cases in Yisurei Bia, or is it a Mechayiv? Certainly, if it's anti-Kedusha, which is what the Ramban says, right, that's even better. Oh, this isn't just about, you know, cases, it's about eroding. That's why it's Bezdin's business, and they're the Ikar. Of course, you know, the Boel and the Neveles, but not as an Iser Bia, that's something else. But as, you know, as people who are undermining Kedusha in Jewish society, right? And if you think that it is like Rapsajagon, Kedesha means, you know, the opposite of Kedusha, or like taking, I think that's a Pshat in Rambam too. You know, using, for the Rapsajagon, it's using Kedushin as a method, you know, of Heter Bia, or turning it on its head, you know, exploiting it, you know, in the most shameless, you know, way, you know, possible. So again, we're not only, you could say, oh, these are designations, they're efficient, they signify, you know, the population.
And especially if you want to signify a wider population, so you save some ink, some dyo, a la cloth, not a small thing, instead of spelling out, who those extra people are. Could be. I always would prefer, obviously, that really the designations are mechayvim. But this is particularly interesting for the Ramach, because for the Ramach, basically, the Ramach's reading of Unkelis is that, we know about other people, but we just don't know about these people. Right? And I just want to read the line. So it's just even more striking that instead of saying Eved v'shivcha, Umashehedi melosia knesha, atirgam Unkelis lo yisav gavra bin b'nei Yisrael yisa'ama, v'chein ra'ui lanu lefaresh, she'ein mikro b'chol ha'torah, she'yesar shivcha leben Yisrael, ve'eved lebas Yisrael, kiyim zeh. Right? So, if by that he means, that this is the Torah's way of writing, Iser Achoso, there's an Iser, Eshes Aviv, and there's an Iser of Shivcha and Eved, we don't have it anywhere else, and that's what these words mean, Kaddish and Kadesha. Right. Or, even according to the Ramach, who says that that's the only people included, and it's because they're not included elsewhere, maybe there's a way to still explain the bitui, the expression of Kadesh and Kadesha, which does have this wider connotation. And that, of course, Alpi, again, just borrowing a little bit from the Ramban, like one of the ha'aras that the Ramban makes is in the other direction, right? The Ramban says, well, on its face, this isn't so obvious because, Moshi, why?
Because Alpi Kadesha is just not passive.
Not so much that. But about Eved and Amma in particular. What's the Ramban's line, Adam? That we read yesterday. Alex? The what? No.
Is there like a paradigm of something that where the Kedushin doesn't work?
They are, but it's mechudash to say that because it's not so obvious because typically an Eved and a Shivcha are Chai B'mitzvos. Right? That's the Ha'ara. Anybody have a line? Go ahead. So what's he saying?
Except
unless the Torah is mifaret, right? Unless the Torah is mifaretet, then the default is that they should be included, right? So the point may be that the reason, even according to the Ramach's understanding of Unkelis, the reason that Eved and Shivcha are off limits, right, is because at the end of the day, it constitutes Kadosh U'Kadesha. It's not just that the Torah happens to signify Kadosh U'Kadesha, or signify these cases through Kadesh and Kadesha. But that is an important perspective. Another Ha'ara, just very quickly, in the Rambam. We spent enough time in the Rambam, we don't really need to say much more, but I think Moshe brought up the point, and then I realized afterwards that I had it on my list. I just forgot about it for a while. And that is that in Sefer Mitzvos, right, Moshe? That the Rambam Shita Bal Pilegesh is?
The Rambam says by terms of Mishin Tzadi Dalek that the king can only have 18 wives, which is the two of the Kedushin.
Yeah, meaning in Sefer Mitzvos, unlike in Mishnah Torah, right, the Rambam Shita is that the 18 wives do not include Pilegesh. So, just to highlight the point, which is, does that mean that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot says, what did he change his mind about, right, from Sefer Mitzvot to Mishnah Torah? Did he change his mind about whether Pilegesh is a form of Ishus or a Heter Bia? Right? And therefore, if it's only a Heter Bia, then of course it's not Bechal Yudches Nashim. Or did the Rambam change his mind, and then maybe he would have, included the heter, the din of melech, maybe in Hokos Yisuribiyah, not necessarily in melech. Again, where he puts it doesn't matter so much in this case. Or is the point in the Rambam that Yud Ches Nashim, even if Pilegish is a form of Ishus, right, and it is a real Kinyan, that it's a higher standard for what Yud Ches Nashim is? Yeah?
Is it fair that he thinks that the Pilegish are not allowed?
That they are?
That they don't count for the 18?
I mean, yeah, he says, doesn't he say?
He says that you can't be Moshe to Pesuva Kiddushim from the
18. Right. So, and Pilegesh...
Maybe you don't violate it by taking up Pilegesh as number 19, but not that if you have Pilegesh among the first 18,
they count. Whoa, that sounds complicated. Say that again?
Maybe the Pilegesh do count.
Pilegesh count, but...
But you only violate the law after you have 18 if you then take a woman with Suvan Kedushin.
Can that be?
It's not a direct contradiction. Between
no, I understand. I'm saying, is that really true? I mean, is that logically possible?
Yeah.
Meaning you can...
The first 18 can include...
The first 18 include Pilegesh
and...
Oh, I see. You're saying the 18 include the Pilegesh and the Isha,
but
once you have 18, you can continue with Pilegesh. I mean, that's a chid. That's a complex view. I hear. Then it wouldn't be a stira to the Rambam and Hilchos Melachim. Okay, I totally did not think of that. If that were to be true, then it would even highlight further what I just suggested, but in a more sensational way. That's what I just suggested was, either the Rambam holds, but Pashtus, it sounds like the Rambam just doesn't agree with what he wrote in Hilchos Melachim, and that both sides of the equation, namely, who counts in the 18 and what violates going over the 18 should be Abba Hatalia, right? So if that's the case, I was asking, is that because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos thinks that Pilegesh, which is still limited to a Melech, presumably, is Heter Bia, not Ishus? Or is it because he thinks that, oh, it may be a form of Ishus, but it's still the qualitative gap between that and real Ishus is still great enough that it's not included in the Keshashim? So, and again, this is a Yud Ches Nashim aspect to this as well. That's what I was, more inclined to say. But if Isaac is correct, and I think it's something to think about. It's definitely not the simple reading of the Rambam. So then you'd have this idea dramatized even more, because what you're saying is that Yud Ches Nashim, includes Pilegesh. So it's Ishus Legabe. The list, but it's not competing issues enough, right, to violate the 18. But then you have to say there are two dinim. Okay, yeah.
How would you formulate the distinction between a melech and a hegiot if it's just a heterotia?
Right. So I think you'd have to say one of two things. Number one, you could, instead of emphasizing what I think the Rambam clearly does emphasize, now. Which is kinyan, right? The yichud is a kinyan, and so on. And again, I think that word kinyan, is not coincidentally also the first word of the Chiddush of Matan Torah according to the Rambam, yikne isha perak aleph halacha aleph, right? So, and again, ha'isha niknes, which we're going to start with in a couple of minutes. It just the whole world and concept kinyan just takes on, added meaning according to the Rambam's very careful usage. So in Hilchos Melachim, I think that is perfectly clear. But in theory, I just, for example, in the Tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right? So he doesn't say exactly what I've been saying about the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. He emphasizes instead the fact that his idea is the Rambam holds anytime there's no chalos mufkeres, that would be Pilegesh. If you could really have miuchedes leish, right? That is not.
It's like the opposite. It's almost like the default is that you're not miuchedes until you are.
Who?
Yaakov is saying that the default is that you're not miuchedes.
No. But he does think that for others, but his pshat the Rambam is as follows, right? He says for the Rambam, then what's the difference between melech and hedjo? The difference is that only a melech, only in the case of melech. Is somebody who's miuchedes leish echad really considered miuchedas leish echad and not considered mufgaris. Why? Because of the fact that no one, right, is going to, you know, insert themselves in that relationship. Moreover, she is not going to easily walk away from that relationship. Therefore, the pshat is really a hedyot in theory, right, could also have a... This is a fascinating thing, because Rabbi Yaakov Emden reading the Rambam in light of the other Rishonim. Really, the Rabban and the Rambam totally agree. If you could ever have miuchedes le'ish echad, right, that would not be a problem. The only argument is, can you have miuchedes le'ish echad if there are no consequences and the rest of the world doesn't see it that way and she doesn't see it that way? So then it's just a coincidence. It's really mufkeres lakol, right, posing as, I don't mean what their real intentions are, right? I mean alpidin, posing as miuchedes le'ish echad. Masha'en kein, melech. Now, if you said that, now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself, by the way, in the tshuva, goes from thinking that a pilegesh is a pnuya, but a pnuya hamuteres, right? And at some point, he switches to saying, you know what? We can do better than that. I don't think it's a pnuya hamuteres. I think it's a form of ishus, right? So to answer your question, I think that one could suggest that my, you know, optimal view, which is based on the language of the Rambam and so on, is that for the Rambam, the Chiddush of Melech is Kinyan and Ishus and so on. But I think the next level could be that only according to the, only in the case of Melech can you have Miuchedes Li'ishechad, and that's the only case that isn't Kadesha. Even though it isn't Ishus, it's not Kadesha. It's Muteras, Betoras, Pnuya. That would be a very fine explanation for what you're asking. The third one would be what I said the other day, which is that, you know, Melech lives, you know, large. You know, he has a lot of temptations. You know, Kol HaGadol Mechavero Yitzra Gadol Heimenu, you know, in Dibra Torah Keneged Yitzra Hara. So even though we're more machmir, for the same reason, because this is the Rabbi Yaakov Emden's question too, right? And it's implicit. Some of the Rishonim say, Mehekatesi, there are differences in halacha between a melech and a hedyot. Yaakov Emden adds, not only that, but we find the opposite. We find limitations on the melech. Why? Why are there limitations on the melech? Why are we more machmir in the melech? The answer is two things. Number one, as a national figure, right, he, you know, he has to behave in a manner that is more befitting of Kedushas Yisrael. A. Number two, as a person whose life is, you know, bigger than life, bigger, larger than, you know, than life, you know, whose experiences are that way, we need to rein him in more to overcompensate, right, for, you know, what could be a problem. By the same token, in certain things, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. So the melech needs to have a heter. Maybe that's not considered znus for that reason too, because it's viewed as part of his melech lifestyle. That's different than what I just said in the name of the Av. No, I'm just giving you two pshatim of how you might explain the yichud of melech, or the yichus of melech in one case, or the yichud of melech in another case, even if you didn't go for the kinyan idea, per se, for mitzvahs and so on. Yeah?
In response to Isaac's point, in Malcolm Gimel Beit, he says, "Lo yarmul anashim, if yashmu alavadim, shehu lokeach ad shmoneh atzeh, yinashim ben anashim, ubilakshim kol shmoneh atzeh, v'im hosef achad,
a wife and a thing." So, you know, there still could be, even if you want to say what Isaac is saying, you still might say there's a machlokas between the Rambam and just, it's not a big machlokas, it's on the second. It's on the question of the Rambam is totally in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam is very totally reasonable, it's what we would expect, meaning it goes in both directions. Meaning, if the 18 are filled up with Pilagesh, then the 18 are also overflowed by Pilagesh. And what we're saying is, in Hilchos, in Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, maybe the Rambam makes that chiluk, or maybe the Rambam just thinks that even to be filled up with Yud Ches, you need. Which I think is a pashas. I think a simple pshat in the Rambam is that it's just different, and it's fully different. But I'm just saying it's something to think about. It doesn't, I agree.
It's not a problem anyway. You just say that he's defining the Hosafa in Sefer HaMitzvos as the two of the Kedushin. And there's no contradiction.
Right, he's just saying that in the Yad HaChazaka, you're leaving the impression, achas.
Yeah, obviously, if you just read this, you're going to have the impression that...
I mean, you have to read both together. You have to read, say, for a mitzvah. That becomes a little bit more bedochak, obviously. But okay. Interesting. It's an interesting idea. Okay.
Also, the read doesn't really work in the Sefer Mitzvah.
What? What'd you say?
The read doesn't work in the Sefer Mitzvah.
The who doesn't work?
The read.
Oh, the read.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, he says...
To begin with, he only mentions Nashim.
Yes, I mean, it's clear that the count of
18 is... Yeah, I think you're right. Okay. I mean, in theory, it's an interesting idea, though. Okay. Noah brought to my attention, right, so I would get back to Noah. Right, we were just playing, you know, games with the list, right? An interesting issue, namely,
would
Kiddushin be tofes by a Pilegesh? Kiddushin shel acher, his own Kiddushin certainly would be tofes by a Pilegesh. That we all agree. But let's say ba acher be kidsha while she was a Pilegesh, what would be the story? So certainly, if Pilegesh means be Kiddushin, then the answer is no, because she's an Eshazish. But if not, let's assume for the moment not. So, if you're a Mekadesh or Pilegesh who didn't have Kiddushin from, you know, the person she was involved with, would the Kiddushin be Chal or not? So, if you hold that Pilegesh is a Heter Bia, then the answer is surely yes. And even if there's a Din and an Iser of some sort, you know, that results from being Miuchedes to somebody, surely, as long as it's anything short of Ishus, Kiddushin Shel Acher would certainly be Tofes. I think that's the more Pasha. The only question might be, like according to the Rambam, that this is a form of Ishus, it's Chatzi Ishus, so is that a problem or not? My instinct is that either way, Kiddushin would be Chal, but Noah came up with a very interesting parallel issue, which I still think is different, but it's worth mentioning, namely the problem of Shivcha Harufa. Go ahead.
And if a person's Mikadosh is Shivcha Harufa, there's no Karis, but she is an
Ishazish. Shivcha Harufa is a kind of in between status, also. I mean, it's not Ishaz Gemura for Karis, but she is an Ishazish. And there's Malkus and so on. Right? Yeah, so that's really interesting. I mean, the Pnei Yeshua says that Kiddushin would not be Toface, right? That's what you told me? Where's the Bnei Yeshua? Gittin? Yeah, that's a sugya of Shiv Harufa. So Gittin Mem Gimel Amad Aleph, that the Kiddushin would not be Tofes because she has a shame HSH, even though there's no Chayve Krisis. That's also good for that, in other words. For understanding Shiv Harufa and understanding whether or not the Itvisas Kiddushin is a function of Chayve Krisis or shame HSH, right? And the Avnei Miluim in Simen Mem Beis Mem Dalet says that Kiddushin would be Tofes, she's not a Chayvik Krisus, therefore the Shem HaSish is not sufficient. So that would be an interesting parallel, although I suspect that even the most ardent view that Pilegesh is a form of Ishus still might think that Kiddushin would be Chal. But I think it's a very interesting case. Yeah.
Wouldn't there be a Yoda implying that Kiddushin would be Chal? This is the only reason why it works by Melech, is so that she won't be with others.
I mean, you're saying, Koyter Ben Yona, it sounds like first condition should be Chal.
Yeah.
I think so. And again, Rabbeinu Yona is working with the Rambam, and the view of the Rambam that it's Kenya. Yeah, very good. 100%. I would be shocked not, but I think it's an interesting question to raise. In other words, let me say it in a slightly different way. For the Rivash, who said, if you think Pilegesh is a form of Ishus, right, which he doesn't, meaning the Rivash, and certainly not for Hediotos, right? But he said, if you really think Pilegesh is a form of Ishus, then you guys should be requiring a get. Right? Strong words. Exactly what the Rush thinks is not true also, unless it's really Kiddushin. That's why the Radva says, in my opinion, you know, the idea of Pilegesh B'li Kiddushin is very suspect. So, you know, if you were to take it, you know, in his extreme view of what other people think Pilegesh is, namely, that it requires a get, and again, to be consistent with that, the Rivash kind of says, so what? This is a form of Ishus? Without Kiddushin? So what does Kiddushin do? Just brings you Chiyav Misa? You know, and a couple of other problems along the way. Remember, that's how the Rivash... Not the Rivash. Yeah, the Rivash, the second one. In the Shin Sadiches, that's how he phrases it. So that's kind of the closest we get to a view that if you think Pilegesh is Ishus, right, it's Ishus, it needs a get. It's, you know, it practically makes the Kiddushin into a trapping, you know, like an addition. But I think, you know, Bepashtos, according to the Rambam, you know, and maybe even according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's, you know, it's Chatzi Ishus, but it's not Ishus, and not even necessarily that of Shifcha Charufa. So I agree with you in your assessment of Rabbi Yaakov.
Yeah. Is there any support for this? Just that according to the Tessa Commission, obviously, in his view of what Pilegesh Hedjot is,
that's true. That's a very good point. I didn't think about it. I mean, according to the Kesem Mishnah, who read the Rambam, that you know, that all cases of Pilegesh are really cases of Yiud. Yiud, everybody agrees, is Ish Hashish. So in a way, by saying that, you know, he's kind of equating them. You know, that might, you know, work into this problem. That might be what I'm saying. The Rivash is saying sharply, "Lo yitachein, you guys, if that's what you mean, right? Maybe you're saying the Kesem Mishnah really reads Yud / Pilegesh in that way." Okay. That I should mention in that context also that the Aruch HaShulchan has a very interesting piece where he's bothered by the language of the equation of the Rambam between Yud and Pilegesh. Again, I mentioned that, you know, the Rav thought it was just like a common denominator. Chalos Ishus B'li Maisa Kiddushin. I'm taking it further. I'm saying that's the only case in Hedjot where you have Kinyan, you know, outside of Maisa Kiddushin. But according to what I'm saying and what the Rav's saying, even though they're a little bit different, the Rambam is not equating Yiud and Pilegesh. And he's certainly not saying what the Kesem Mishnah is saying, which is that Yiud, you know, is the equivalent of Pilegesh. He's also not saying what Rabbi Yaakov Emden was saying, which was, oh, the fact that there's only Yiud and you can't give a Shifcha, you can't give a Ktana to be an Ama Le'inyan, this aspect of Ishus without Yiud, you know, shows something. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's perspective, right? But according to what I'm saying, what the Rav's saying, we're not equating Yiud at all with Pilegesh. You're just showing that, you know, there's a parallel between them, which highlights, you know, what the problem typically is in Hedyot, and why it is overcome by Melech. Right? So that's important. But I think what you're saying is correct. Anyway, the Aruch HaShulchan also is bothered by this equation of the Rambam. Also thought that the Rambam was equating Yiud and Pilegesh, and he's bothered by the following. He says, but Pilegesh doesn't have Sher Ksus V'Yona, right? But it sounds like in the Psukim and Mishpatim that, you know, that there is Sher Ksus V'Yona in the case of Yiud.
He might not be the source.
What?
He might not be the
exact Yiud. Yeah. So the Aruch HaShulchan then bends over backwards and does kind of some contortions to try to suggest that the Psukim don't really mean that, and that maybe, and this is something to think about later when we talk more about Yiud, because it comes up, maybe really there isn't Sher Ksus V'Ona in a typical case of Yiud. Even though that sounds like that's the Mokar, Psukim and Mishpat. So why does he say that? Because it's equated with Pilegesh. Wow. Okay. So then, you know, that would be another, not just a Kesem Mishnah, but in this expression of the Aruch HaShulchan, this idea that Pilegesh is really like post Yiud. Wow. So maybe you lose the Xer Ksus V'Yona for both of them, but it sounds like it would be a Dinevashas Ish. Okay. Very good. So that is some of the things that we wanted to add. I should also add one other thing. The Radvaz is Tshuva. We know the Radvaz. Again, the Rivash is like a super, anti-Pilegesh expansive of Deisha. You know, he's really on board with the Rambam, thinks everybody agrees with the Rambam, and so on. The Radvaz, of course, is exactly the opposite. The Radvaz, you know, goes in the Ramban / you know, Rabbi Yaakov Emden camp, where, you know, what's wrong with Pilegesh, right? And even according to the Rambam, maybe it's only Dindrabbanan, maybe the problem of Hed Yod is only a problem of Taras HaMishpacha, right? It's just an unbelievable piece. So the Radvaz is just, you know, the other extreme. But what is interesting about the Radvaz, you know, even though he's the opposite extreme, and actually Rebecca Bemden takes some task a little bit on this, is that he has a very radical view of Akroy. Right? We pointed out that there are three cases. There's Mizumenes and Mufkeres Lisnus. There's Miuchedes L'Adam Echad. Right? And then there's, Akroy. Right? So what we saw was that there are poskim out there who say that there's no such thing as really alpidin a kalos of miuchedes li shechad. That's just another, you know, that's just, you know, the veneer of really mufkeres, right? Or maybe there is such a thing, but it's still in the category of kadesha. But a kroy, you know, that's much better. Maybe that isn't kadesha, even if miuchedes adam echad is kadesha. The Radvaz says the opposite. The Radvaz says, in my opinion, miuchedes la'adam echad is pilegesh, and that's mutter, and even lahedjo, and even according to the Rambam, and, you know, and so on and so forth. However, that doesn't mean there isn't kadesha, or that kadesha is limited to eved or shivcha, or etc. Because maybe akroy is worse than miuchedes la'adam echad, and that is always kadesha. So that is the opposite of the Rivash and the Lachem Mishnah's reading of the Ravid and a bunch of the poskim. He's saying Akroy is worse. Very understandable. Okay. And then we did basically a whole bunch of issues connected to whether Pilegesh is a kind of Ishus, what level of Ishus. We just discussed that now. Obviously the Bitui and how you translate, there are different translations of what Pilegesh is. Again, is it Chatzi Isha? Is it the Ravid in Ochos Ishus, you know, part Mishkav, part slave, you know, the Rashi in Parshas Kisavo, you know, based on Chazal, about, you know, Tikkun Divrei Sofrim, what's so terrible about the word Yishkalena, right, if it means Pilegesh. So depending on what you emphasize in Pilegesh, Chatzi Isha, you know, service, Avod, you know, Ebed, Shivcha, whatever it is, something bechowar, the bitui has a lot also to do with it. Of course, we talked about whether the Isra Seif Ki Yikach would apply. Depends on this issue broadly. Do you need kedushin? Where would you put this halacha? Right, Isra Ibiya Malachim Ishus. Is it bechlal yudches nashim? Right, and here we found. Right, that even if it is a form of Ishus, it may not be. Right, the differences between Hedyot and Melech, as we discussed, is the Isur of Pnuya and Yichud of Beis Dino Shel David, or more, applicable to Pilegesh, huge machlokes, Rishonim and Achronim. Might you need a get? What about Tfisas Kiddushin or Eishas Ish? What about Isur? On the Isur side, I just wanted to add that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden starts his tshuva by saying that if somebody is miuched, if she's miuchedes le'ish echad, then it's asura lot to be involved with anybody else. Something which, yeah, the Rivash thought was ridiculous if there's no kiddushin. But he even adds, and if she is, then she's a kadesha. So that's very interesting because mimanavshach, is she a kadesha or she's not a kadesha? What does that have to do with where she's coming from, right? If you think that outside of kiddushin or pilegesh, right, or miuchedes lishachad, everything is kadesha, so then, you know, if she was a pilegesh or miuchedes lishachad, and then she, you know, she becomes involved with someone else, then, you know, then it's kadesha. But what does that have to do with her past? That has to do with her present, So it seems clear to me that what Rabbi Yaakov Emden is really, really saying is that even if the objective conditions in the present do not justify Kedesha,
you have it up there?
Even if the objective conditions don't justify Kedesha, let's say Kedesha doesn't apply L'kul Alma to Akroy, maybe. Or, you know, she signed on for a new long-term relationship, let's say. And maybe even the first time doesn't qualify as Kedesha. But the fact that she's breaking a Pilegesh type relationship is Kedesha. So that's a very fascinating thing. Okay. The other thing we discussed was the link to Bnei Noach. Both, you know, is Pilegesh, you know, the equivalent of the Ishus of Ben Noach, or is there a Pilegesh to Ben Noach? And are you going to be more Machmir in Ben Noach perhaps than Yisrael, you know, for the reasons that we discussed? So again, that's the discussion in the Rimash. But you should know Rabbi Yaakov Emden takes him to task on that and says kind of what we said, which is, well, in Ben Noach, there's no such thing as Pilegesh separate from Ishus, because that's what the Ishus of Ben Noach is. Right? Okay. And then, of course, the Issur L'Acher, which we just discussed, the fact of, Pilegesh Aviv, or Pilegesh HaMelech. The Radvaz has this view that Pilegesh HaMelech is Asura, except to another Melech. Right? All these issues, the questions of Kurva. There's also a couple of other issues that I just wanted to mention for 2 seconds, but you'll pursue them if you get a chance. Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, right? So the Ran seems to take the view that Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom does not apply to Pilegesh. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom. The Yamshel Shlomo, I'm sorry, in Yevamos, Perek Yud Mitz, you know, Halakha Beis, says that Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom applies to Pilegesh. And he explains it because Pilegesh, in his opinion, is a form of Ishus. An important formulation. Rabbi Yaakov Emden disagrees. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden disagrees because he, you know, if you read the whole tshuva, he's not so happy with Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom. And he thinks that, like, you know, it's hanging by a thread. So he just thinks that it's impossible to apply it, you know, except strictly where it was, you know, initially decreed and adopted. But of course, if you think that that Pilegesh is not a form of Ishus, right, then it's very possible that the fact that it has a lesser, ironically, its lesser stature might absolve it from, you know, being competitive with the Ishus, such that you'd violate Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom. So that's an interesting discussion. Havchana is an interesting discussion. Okay? That's the Ran, sorry. The Ran has the view that Havchana does not apply to Pilegesh. Again, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right in the beginning of the Tshuva, already says, Havchana applies to Pilegesh. What's the issue? When it comes to Znus, we normally don't have a din of Havchana because we assume that women would be very careful, you know, not to get into that kind of a situation. So the question is, you know, from that point of view, a Pilegesh, a long-standing relationship, is like an Ishus, and there should be a din of Havchana. Nevertheless, the Ram says that there's no din of Havchana because it is an Ishus. Right? And of course, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who thinks that Pilegesh is a kind of quasi-Ishus, is very unhappy with that. He thinks that there is an Isur of Havchana. Yeah?
Why should Havchana have anything?
So again, obviously there's a pragmatic aspect, you know, to Havchana in terms of, you know, identifying the children. But I think the point that they're trying to make is that as a gzeira, it was made in the context of Ishus, from one Ishus to another. It's more of a technicality, but it's, in this case it's a technicality that reflects on the formality of how you look at Pilegesh. In other words, if you think that there's a technical issue, that's what the Ran is saying. He's saying it's true that, you know, in a way, Pilegesh should be different than Znus and like Ishus. But in the end of the day, if Al Pidin, it's not a form of Ishus, so it's not Nichlal in the Gezerah of Avchan.
And it's clear that the Gezerah is only on Ishus?
I mean, it seems clear that it was made for that. So, and that's why there's a whole question even about Yibum and, you know, and other things. So if you take that view, so even though that is a more, you're 100% right, it, misvara, like, you know, whatever it's a bay. But, you know, formally, in terms of being nichlal in the takana, you know, it becomes an interesting question. Another thing that the Abbot speaks about, which is very interesting, is the question of Kohen Gadol, right? A Kohen Gadol is only supposed to marry a Besula, right? And any other relationship is prohibited. What about a Pilagesh? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
If the Rambam would compare Pilagesh to Amavriya, would there be some sort of din of Ona?
Well, Sheikh Susviona, that's why I mentioned the Aruch HaShulchan's discussion. So it seems like the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, he's bothered by the connection to Yiyud. So he says, the Pashtus of Psukim in Mishpatim is that Sheikh Susviona apply to Yiyud, and that's even Makar. But if the Rambam compares Yiyud and Pilagesh, and it's, you know, there's certainly no din of Sheikh Susviona when it comes to, you know, to a Pilagesh, that's his argument. That's why he does contortions to try to say, oh, in you, there really isn't such a din either. Shirksus, I don't know. 100%. That's the issue. So the question of Kohen Gadol is an interesting question. You know, it's an added wrinkle that he doesn't really discuss, which is, for Yom Kippur, at minimum, right, the Kohen Gadol has to be married, beso, and he can't be married to two wives. The Rambam's actual shita happens to be, maybe we'll discuss this at some point, in the Surei Bia and in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, the Rambam's shita happens to be that all year round a woman, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be married to two wives. Right? The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, you know, it's a good policy because he doesn't want to have to divorce one of his wives every Yom Kippur, but really it's only a din of Yom Kippur, right? That's what the Ravid says. Anyway, we'll leave the Yom Kippur side of it for another time. But the point is, what about Pilagesh? Right? Both on, you know, him being married and, you know, maybe being too married or too many married, right? An interesting question. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden isn't so interested from that point of view, the Yom Kippur part, or for the Rambam of the Kol HaShana aspect of that. He's more interested in, you know, is this a violation of Huvim Psuleh HaYikach? Is that only in Ishus? Right? What about if Pilegish is a kind of Ishus, but it isn't really Ishus, or maybe the Basula has to be Nasui, but then it's okay to have a Pilegish. That's kind of what he thinks. Very controversial. Okay. So the point is that there are a lot of other issues to explore. Partly, you know, it's a double discussion, right? To what extent is this Heter Bia or a form of Ishus, but also, again, remember that the Ramban was of the opinion, even if it's only Heter Bia, there's no Iser Yichud, right, and Pnuya. It's still not a Pnuya. You know, and the Rivash was saying, even if it's a mitzvah, there's still an Iser Yichud and you know, mitzvah saseh and so on. So there's a double argument, just like we saw with regard to Yud Ches Nashim, but certainly a lot of the discussion, part of the discussion anyway, is how we look at Pilegesh, even Pilegesh, which is Mutter, and then, of course, the idea that a Pilegesh, if it's limited to Melech, might be one kind of institution. A Pilegesh for a Hedyot, you know, might be a different kind of institution. So these are all important questions and issues. I was going to read to you, just to cap this off, the Sefer HaBatim, but I didn't bring mine here, so I'll just read those lines, a couple of good lines. I'll leave that for the next time. Let's begin now from the beginning. Okay, so the Mishnah says what, Alex? If you just read quickly. Yeah. So this is the Mishnah, and we've already read it, and the thing that sticks out in this Mishnah in particular is the language of Kenya. Right? Ha'isha Niknes. And of course that's immediately what the Gemara zeroes in on. Go ahead, Mishnah. Ha'isha Niknes, go ahead. So it's a double question, right? The emphasis on Ish or Isha, and of course the Lashonos of Mekadesh and Niknes. Yeah. Yeah. Therefore, Tanah Isha Niknes. Yeah. So basically, the Gemara gives an answer. So what's the answer in a nutshell? I guess. Why did we say Aisha Niknes? Again, the Gemara presents it that the problem is the discrepancy, right? But the truth is that it's a strange lashon anyway. One would think, right? Do you really want to describe the bond of Ishus as a kinyan, right? For modern ears, right? It's particularly a little bit jarring, right? Which doesn't mean it's wrong, because that's what Chazal thought was the right terminology, and therefore it's right. But you know, we need to understand that people like have very serious misconception about this. They think that, you know, the halakha's perspective is that, you know, you buy a lawnmower.
Shor v'chamor.
What?
Shor
v'chamor. So again, there are some Rishonim who actually do use these expressions, and we need to understand them too. Some Rishonim really use the language of kinyan in the sense of acquisition and focus on the chiyuve ha'isha lahabal, and the fact that, you know, maybe she doesn't have a separate bank account, you know, she has obligations to him, etc. But the question is that really what we are primarily emphasizing, and is that even true according to other Rishonim? So it's not just the discrepancy, the use of the word kinyan, even if you weren't living, you know, in a modern, you know, era when this sounds jarring, probably in any era, the description of kinyan to describe kiddushin is a little bit challenging. But the Gemara's answer is quite intriguing, namely, that it's therefore for kiddushin kesef. Okay, but then the question you might want to ask yourself is, how many modes are there to accomplish kiddushin?
Three.
And kesef is one of them, right? So for one-thirds of the modes, we're using the language of kinyan? Now, you might think, you know, don't be picky. But that's not my question. It's kind of it's a group of Rishonim's question, and it's based on the Hemshech of the Shakla Vitari of the Gemara, which if you could just read, we'll get on the record, and then I'll explain what I'm bothered by. Go ahead. Then the Gemara says, "Vinisni hasam, you did such a good job. You know, we're swept away with this notion of kinyan. So, you know, why not go with it everywhere? Why don't we call this Masechet Kinyan, right? Yeah, go ahead."
Vinisni hasam ha'ish kona meikara tani lishan derabonam. Well, besov tani lishan derabonam.
Right.
Umay lishan derabonam ta'aser lakol yalmakach.
So that again, as we already noted, that's a very challenging thing too. So the Masechta is called Kiddushin. It's fascinating that we've chosen Lishna Drabanan, you know, to name it. Okay, often Lishna Drabanan is superior in one way to Lishna Daraisa because, you know, it's free of Lishna Daraisa. I can always choose Lishna Daraisa. It shows the mentality, you know, of how Chazal understood the concept. But isn't that interesting too that the Masechta is named after what seems like negative campaigning, Dasar Kul Alma Kehekdesh, and as we already noted, which puts pressure on the ability, you know, under the chuppah to say Hare At Mekudeshes Li, right? That's Tosis's question. Hare At Mekudeshes Li means Hare At Asura Li, right? Hare? How does Tosis answer? We've seen it already.
Yeah, Hare At Mekudeshes Li, Kumar Li Yosli Mekudeshes Lola. Meaning that just like hektish is like, when you say something hektish, he says it's like someone saying
Liosli Mekudeshes La'olam Bishvili. You have to add. You have to add the Bishvili. The Li and the Bishvili are the key, right?
Wait, he's saying that's being introduced. That's the Kolomar.
It is a clone, right? Exactly. So we, I mean, every when, you know, when the time comes, anything imminent, or we'll sing for you at the right time, though.
That's why. Right,
what's that?
Is Rabbi Avion?
We'll talk after. So you know, the point is that, you know, when the time comes, and you say Harat Mukudeshusli, you know, Batabas Zoo or Zo. What do we say in the end? Zoo or Zo?
Zo.
Back here, Zo.
The consensus is the Zo, I think, spread, but everyone says Zoo.
That's a kasha by the text.
Would you say?
I think the consensus is that Zoe is correct. But like the same way that like...
No, I think the consensus was that Zoe is better, but Zoe is...
The island
everyone
says
uses
Zoe.
It.
Anyway, so when you say it, so the point is that you have, according to Balei Tosfos, what you're really saying is, Hare Bishvili, right, At Mekudeshes La'ola. Right, the Chassan should really know that. Right? So it's so we pick this language of Kiddushin that is, so I wouldn't say convoluted, Chalila, but that is complex, that you need Parshanut for it under the Chuppah. Right? By the way, according to the Shita Yishana, as we've already discussed, the Raiva, the Shita Yishana, the Apodram, that they make their comment not on this problem. Their comment has to do with the Nusach HaBracha, but Asar Lanu Asar Rusos, but we already know what they say. Right, what do they say? That it's Eish HaSish, right? The Asar Lanu Asar Rusos is Eish HaSish Legabe Didei, correct? So according to them, it's a much better read, as we've noted, right? When you say Hare At Mekudeshesli under the chuppah, what are you really saying? Hare, you're my Eish HaSish, but not my Eish HaSish, meaning you're also called Olam and you're mutter to me. But you're also right now, and you're saying this with a big grin, you know, with a band, you know, standing by, the chazan and the rabbi, everybody's there, and you're saying, like, you're my Eish HaSish, you know, you're. Right now, you know, we have an Isra Eish. So we went from Panuya Bala Pnuya, Baruch Hashem, to Eish HaSish. Right? Now, I mean, some of the chasanim, if you ever go to weddings, like there are two types of chasanim, right? Now, the ones who are shaking, you know, like a leaf. And then there are ones who are very composed, and it's fine to be either way. So is it because the ones who are interpreting like the Abudram and the Raivan and the Shita Yishana, right? They're saying, Hareyat Eish HaSish Legabi, right? Not something to be, you know, smiling so much about, seemingly. Right? And the other ones are saying, Hareyat Mekudeshes, you know, Lekola Olam Bishvili.
Shul was thinking both Shats and I was still
happy. What? Shul for sure had both things in mind. And he was Mekadesh without a Shliach.
Right.
And anyways, so the point is that if you understand what I'm asking here, which is so we picked a Lishna Durabanan, right, which emphasize at minimum is a negative, you know, emphasizes Osar Kulam Kahekdesh, right? Made difficult, you know, under simply comprehending what the Chassan is saying to the Kala under the Chuppah, you have to add in the Libishvili. Right? Or alternatively, if you want to say the Pshat according to the Raivin and Shiti Shana and Abudram, you could probably say that, you know, that it's you don't need the Taich, I guess, anymore. Taich, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yeah? Thanks. So you don't need that. But or as we say in German, the Übergesetzen. But you do you are emphasizing, right, the negative. You're saying, you know, you're an Eish HaSish, you're my Eish HaSish. You know? The Isser has increased. We're taking a step, a giant step back. Right? That's a very remarkable thing. Okay. So either you got it, you're emphasizing Kenyan because of one of three, or... And let me talk about the one of three for a moment. Let me get back to the Lishna D'Oraisa. So again, you'll see in the question in a second, because the Gemara asks this question, in a different context, about the one and the three. Gemara's counting, so we could count. And the Rishonim asked the question about the one and the three. Well, let's say even better, right? According, there's a group of Rishonim, a small group, who hold that Kiddushei Kesef is the Rabbanan. Right? We're going to talk about them a little bit. Rabosav Shel Rashi, right? Quoted in Rashi, in Ksuvas, right in the beginning, right? And in the Sugya in Gittin, in Perek HaShaleach, correct? A few places in Shas. They hold that when the Gemara says that there's an institution called Afkin Rabbanu LeKiddusha Minei, right? So the Gemara says, Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa, Kaddish Mabia Maikel Meimar, if there's Kiddushei Kesef, we can understand it. It's pretty hard to understand either way. But the Kaddish Bebiya Maikel Meimar, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Afkin Rabbanu L'Kiddush Shemineh. Right? Shavi Rabbanu L'Bilaso B'ilas Nuts. So the way Rabosav Shalrashi read the Gemara, it's also quoted by the Rebbeinu Gershom, right, in Bava Basra, Memches, the sugya that you just hopefully looked at, the, you know, Tolu Yivazavin sugya, Kazuasa Shalom Kogan Naslo Shalom Kogan, it's there too. Right? So Rabosav Shalrashi say that Tanakh the Kaddish B'Kaspa, Hey Mamru Vehe Mamru. Right? They created this Kiddushi Kesef, and therefore they can abolish Kiddushi Kesef in a case that they want, that they can oker it. Right? Maybe even Mekan Rolaba. That's a simple pshadness. Not in Babasra, because there it is anyway, Mekan Rolaba. But in the other cases, the Kaddish Babio, which is Kiddushi Torah, Michael and Amar, the Gemara says, no, still. Right, and then you need to explain what it means according to Rabbi Sosha Rashi. Not for now, we'll get back to it. Fine. All I'm trying to say is, and the Rambam says what? We don't know. Like we know that it's a big controversy, right? That in both in Perek Aleph, Halacha, what is it? Base or Gimel? Base, right? Aleph base, the Rambam has, you know, Kesef Midibre Sofrim, contrasted with Shtar, as we know. And again in Perek Gimel, Halacha Chaf, same thing. Right? And maybe the Rambam played around with it. There are those who understood that the Rambam held his Drabbanan. There are others, myself included, Nosei Kelim on the Rambam felt this way. Not like the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos and others, who felt, no, it's Doraisa. But it's a different level somehow. So for me, it's different. The fact that it's derived from a drasha, I'll explain what I mean more when we get to it, right, is important. Okay, why am I bringing all this up now? It's good to know. We're going to get to it anyway, so we'll do a little of the spade work now. What's the point I'm trying to make? The Gemara here says that we use the language of Kenyan because one out of the three modes of Kiddushin, i.e. Kesef, is a Kenyan. And according to Rabosav Shalrashi, how do you read this Gemara? I mean, and it's only Drabanan? And according to the Rambam, it's Divrei Sofrim, so it isn't Drabanan, but it's Divrei Sofrim? And that's the one that we're choosing to emphasize in the first Mishnah. Keep going for a minute. Go ahead. Now, this is a very interesting thing which we're not going to discuss right now, but the idea of, you know, Misa Sabal as, you know, Hakna Min HaShemayim is a very fascinating issue, right? Meaning, the Pashtus, you would think that if the husband dies, so there is no husband, and therefore whatever Kinyan or Ishus there was is simply Paka Mimela, right? So if that's all the Gemara means here, then Makne Min Shemayim means, like, you know, there's a certain... The Hashgacha is, you know, given, you know, credit or is connected, you know, to the decision to take this person from the world. And in that sense, it's maknile, you know, min shemai. But if we take the language of Kinyan more seriously, right, so it, there's something to say about Gittin too, frankly. I mean, get is the hafka sa'ishos, or it's really haknod. It's a matir, it's a Kinyan, right? She's kones atzma, and he's makne her. But Misa Sabal, it's even more mechudash. I mean, Misa Sabal, it's not just that the Ishus is gone, it's that, you know, the Maisa Misa is a matir. So everybody knows this whole Trumas Hadeshan discussion about Eshes, you know, Eliyahu, right? Eliyahu Anavi? Eliyahu Atishbi? Eliyahu. Well, anyway, he exited, you know, physical life in the Prozdor in a very unique way. Right? Correct? So what? In the Likutei HaZohar. No. Yeah, okay. But the point is, so the Trumas Hadeshan has this safek. What's the story? And then the Achronim, of course, pile it, because this is good. What's the story with Eliyahu HaNavi? Eishes Eliyahu HaNavi, right? Because he is no longer in the world, right? But he didn't have a regular Misa. So is Misa Matir, or is the fact that, you know, the person is no longer, the Baal is no longer, you know, there or accessible, right, means that there's no Eishes, right? This is a big issue in Get Lachar Misa too, in a way, right? Meaning the famous machlokes in Rashi and Baalei Tosfos, so why there's no, you know, shlichus, you know, to give a get lachar misa. Is that because ain shlichus lachar misa, or is it because ain ishus lachar misa? Right, similar kind of a problem, similar kind of an issue. It may have a lot to do, at least I think it does, with the problem of the nemanus, you know, to be matir and aguna, the real aguna. I mean, meaning the aguna who is, you know, the aguna whose husband, you know, is missing, right? The sugya is in the very end of Masechet Yevamos, you know, and the Gemara says, you know, that Ein Echad works, you know, for Misa Sabal. It's an interesting question, and some of the Rishonim join it. Is the Eidus on the fact that there is no Ishus, or the Eidus on the act of Misa, or the fact of Misa, which is a matir? Okay. Anyways, the idea of the Gemara here, which is Kamakne Min Shmaya, really has two ways to understand it. Say, one is the, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom is in charge of Chayim and Maves, as we know, coming to that, you know, period of the year, right, of Din. And that's all we mean by it. Or is it further reflection of the fact that Misa is really a kones atzma, it's really a matir. And then you get to all these interesting questions. Okay, keep going. Vibay seima,
itara kone hava mina filu balakarcha, tara isha niknes dimidaita in shalomidaita.
Okay, so that's going to occupy our attention, and I'm going to give a couple more marmakomos for that very, very soon. A very strange hava mina, that really you could have kiddushin balkarcha de isha. Strange on a practical level, and strange on a legal level. Okay? Like, how could that ever be true? How could you think that Kiddushin can be Baal Karcha? And when we reject that, you know, is there any remnant of that Hava Mina that remains in Ishus or in Kiddushin, etc.? Okay, we'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. Go ahead. Am I Yuria? The Tani Shalosh. Yeah. Elohad the time. This part you can read quickly because we're not going to. I just want to get a certain line on the record. Go ahead.
In
terms of Zav, Ziva, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Then the Gemara says, this is the line that I'm interested in.
My time, Tani Lasho,
Tani Shalosh, Mishum Drachin.
Drachin.
Nisni Dvarim, Nisni Shlosha. Yeah.
Mishum Dvarim, Lemisni Bia. Bia Ikri Derech, Dixiv, Derech Gever, Baalma, King Derech Isha, Naefes.
Naefes, period. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Hotanach.
Bia Kesav Shtar Mayek Lemimar.
Mishum Bia.
Vikani Tartia Tuchada.
Yeah.
Hanach Nami Tarach Bia Ninu.
Good. So this is the line that I was interested in. Meaning, the Gemara knows how to ask, you're going to use a Lashon only for Kiddushei Bia? It's only one of the three modes. Right? So we learn with the language of Kesef, only Mishum. The language of Kenyan only Mishum Kesef? What happened to the to the third and two-thirds rule. So Rishonim already asked this. They give different answers. We'll discuss them a little bit. But I'm more interested in the question for the moment. The Gemara didn't even ask the question. That's above the Rishonim. How come the Gemara here didn't ask what they asked later on? Right? In a way, what's the Gemara's answer here? It's also important to note, and we'll get back to it. Right? What does it mean? Atu chad hanach the answer is hanachnami tzorech bianinu. What does that mean? Right? Yeah? Ariel? So is it a reference to Bias Nisuin, in which case we have a prominent mention of Nisuin here in the beginning of Kiddushin, you know, very relevant to part of our Akdama, right? Or what else could it be? I'm sorry, what did you say? Well, if you hold like the Dea and the Gemara later on, where the Gemara has a suffix, be erisinosa, the suinosa, right? But it could be that there's another point, and that is, even if it's not nisuin, but this is the Gemara's way of saying, Bia may be only one of three, but in a way, Bia is the uber, right? Ishus. That's the one that's mefurish bakra, right? The Gemara thought that Kesef, you know, is just an introduction to that. For the same reason that the Gemara thinks that Kiddush Bia may be Erusin and Nisuin and other things, you know, we have to keep a list already. You know, we talked about the Yerushalmi, other things, you know, the Gemara Vizka Shavayis La'Dadi, right? How different is Kiddush Bia from the other Kiddushin? But the point, if either we're talking about the Ishus and the Nisuin, right? And we're giving that very from great prominence here, even in the Mishnah of Kiddushin, or we're talking about the fact that, in a way, these are in lieu of, really, really, you should be doing Kiddush Bia, but you can substitute Kiddush Bia for the others. So is that paradigm applicable in the same way to Kesef, in terms of Kenyan? Yeah, Ariel, do you want to say something more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe just an indicator that it's talking about the Bia Kiddushin is, if it's talking about Bias and Suin, it's not the
Yeah, right. Exactly. Unless you say, oh, this is according to that Manda Amaru, like you said before, who says Mpia Nisuno. So I think it's even more intriguing to read it. Either way, it's intriguing to read it. Okay. Ibai Seima, let's finish up a little bit more. Hamani Rab Shimon, go ahead. I mean, he's pursuing her, typically.
Okay,
this is a very nice mashal in a way. Right? This is what a lot of the Rishonim point to when they talk about Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado and why it is that Chava was created the way that she was created, right? So the Ravid in the beginning of the Hakdama to Balei HaNefesh and the Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah and others basically all say this is the existential bond. In other words, this is the sense of, you know, Baal Ke'isha and Isha Kebala, you know, that, you know, that there's a sense of, you know, completion and connection. Okay, but keep going. V'hoditnan. Okay, then the rest are Dvarim, Esrog and Ziva, and so on. That part we can skip for the moment because we're not going to go into those issues. All right, to the two dots. Okay, fine. Right. The next Gemara that we'll pick up, I'm not going to do the because it'll take too long. Either I was tempted to do the Zeroim parts here, but to be honest, you know, you have to sometimes suppress your, you know, your, yeah. Okay. So it wouldn't be right, so I'm not going to do it. But So what's going on here? So I think that the answer is, you know, obviously part of our Hakdama, and it's a transition from our Hakdama. Yeah.
Going back when we're talking about Balkarka, are we supposed to understand that the first image of the Gemara holds that we can do Kiddush Balkarka?
No, I don't think so. I think probably the first answer of the Gemara should be interpreted that there never would be a Havamina either way that you would say Balkarka, therefore you need to give a different explanation. I think the Kiddush Bepashtus, assuming that the Gemara really means Bal Karcha, put it that way, the Chiddush is that we ever would have thought Bal Karcha, and we'll see in a moment that some Rishonim right, reread the Gemara that, no, the Gemara didn't really think that even when the Gemara said it, didn't think it. Now, you know, if you take the view that this is about Taluy V'Zavin and the Sugya and Baal Basra, so then you might say what you just said, which is, well, maybe it really does work. Because then the Chiddush is that it doesn't work. Because we're really plugging it into... In other words, what I'm saying is, and we get a little bit ahead of ourselves because I first want to make the first point, is that the Hava Mina Bal Karcha is against the grain of Kinyanim and logic, or the Hava Mina Bal Karcha is diluted. It doesn't really mean Bal Karcha unvarnished. It's a certain context or type of Bal Karcha, in which case maybe it is typical, and then maybe the fact that, you know, we thought it makes sense, and the fact that we conclude that it's not so, it doesn't make sense, right? Or it's challenging. Then you might say, oh, and the other Deya, you know, thinks that it works. But if it's Bal Karcha as, you know, but Pashtus Bal Karcha, meaning that you can force her per se, not with Rotzani, not Taluy V'Zavin or something like, or not Acharkach Nisratza Ha'av or Acharkach Nisratzta, something like, no qualifications. It just means, you know, I can force her into this marriage. I can't force her to sell Bessie her cow, right, or her field, or her typewriter, right, and certainly not her lawnmower, right? But I can force her to marry me. That's a shock. Right? What does that mean? Well, how could that be? If it means that, right, there's no maskana that's okay. It's shocking that there's a hava mina and that needs to be understood. Even what? Even though Tavlamet of Tanduf. Yeah, so there are some Rishonim who do ask that. And so they say, listen, but, you know, that you Tavlamet of Tandu, I mean, is already hard to understand. Right? But.
From our modern perspective, it seems like it was something.
No. From any point of view, it's hard to understand. We're Makabel that, you know, I think what it really means, by the way, it's not that the woman is desperate and therefore she'll settle for anything. I think what it really, really, really means, and this is I think, you know, they really prove it. That's how some Rishonim explain it, is that women and men, the genders, have different perspectives on how they assess things. And, you know, it's, you know, women have a kindler, gentler, or broader way of assessing, you know, of being empathetic, number one, and also assessing their own, you know, benefit, right? So tavlameit of tandu milameisav armel. But the point is that either way, it is a bit of a. I mean, the Gemara applies it to mukashchin, you know, things of that sort. Even then, there are cases that Rishonim and the Gemara think it doesn't apply to. But to say that it applies even bal karcha when she's screaming and yelling bal karcha, that's very extreme, right? So, in other words, if she does. You know, if you're talking about Zachin, or you're talking about, you know, a situation that develops, you know, later, that she'll stick with, she's a loyal, you know, women are more loyal, let's say, or they're less superficial in assessing, let's say, physical beauty, or their, whatever. If that's the pshat, but it's still, or even, you know, the father's going to marry her off to somebody and she'll accept it. But in the end of the day, there's stum das, her das, his das. You know, somebody thinks this is okay for her, and then she'll go along with it. That's still different than saying that there are no standards whatsoever, and she's screaming and yelling, I don't want this.
No form of zachin at all.
What?
No form of zachin at all, even if you say tanu.
Correct. I mean, well, we don't say zachin. The question is, do you say zachin in kedushin generally or not? And that's an issue to talk about also. But no, Rishonim do talk about it. About top lead. We'll speak about it for a couple of minutes. But, I forgot to speak about Psad Jagon also. I'll try to bring it. But yeah, for now, that the consensus answer is kind of what I'm saying. But yeah.
The more that we connect condition to Gittin, the more we're
going to
think it's
a one-sided opinion. Bal Karcha. So, but Gittin is a good paradigm for sure, Yotzev Haisa. But, you know, there are also huge differences. In particular, the fact that there's already an existing relationship. You know, when you have a relationship, one of the things I'm going to point out, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, is that, you know, when you have one of the problems of Bal Karcha is what I would call the Mitzaref problem. Meaning, if you are have a relationship with something or somebody, right? It's not necessarily true that all relationships are, you know, have an equal or an equilibrium, you know, where you know there's you know transitivity, let's say, on both sides of the equation. You know, many are, most are, but not all. But you still need a framework and a relationship. In other words,
it depends what the kedushin is doing. It's creating the connection or just creating the yoser. Creating the yoser, you're not necessarily connecting yourself to her as much as you're separating her.
Right, but she still has to be a party of you walk up to. It's a shocking thing. Again, we'll talk about it more. But I mean, you walk up to somebody in the street who you have no connection with, and you impose kedushin upon them. Like, where does that come from? Meaning, in a get, we'll talk more about it. But in a get, I'm telling you, you brought it up by saying the Yatzav Haisa. In a get, there's a marriage. So you can say, in the marriage, right, there are the role of the genders in the marriage, both in the Maisa Kedushin, in the question of get, you know, and in the throughout, is a complex one. Meaning, I think it's an equal partnership, but it's an equal but different partnership, and there are aspects that you know reflect the fact that derech ha'ish lechazar achar isha and kiikach velo kitilokach, and you know, and all these things, and there are also aspects that represent the akaris habayis part and the other part, and so on and so forth, in terms of the chiyuve ha'ish la'isha and so on. So I think it, you know, we believe that it's not only fair but ideal, so it balances out, but it's different. So to say that in the context of a get, where there's an ishus, that he is the dominant party vis-a-vis, right, imposing an end or a termination. Again, if it were up to me and I didn't know the Din Torah, I might not have known that, or it certainly isn't obvious. And in some cases, it's challenging to explain, right? But in the end of the day, if those are the Dine Torah, it's understandable. It just means that legabe, you know, termination of the marriage, right? That is his. He's the dominant one in that part of the relationship, and therefore he can impose his will on their framework, namely their combined, you know, partnership. In business, you have a partnership. All business partnerships are you know, absolutely, you know, reciprocal. Right? A good business partnership is reciprocal in the sense that, you know, it works for both parties. And probably in many cases, some of them are absolute equal, and some of them are like there's a division of labor, right? And when there's a division of labor, it's also possible, not mukhrach, depending on how you write the contract, that you know one will have priority over the other. One will be dominant with regard to X, and the other will be dominant with regard to Y. So when it comes to you know termination of the partnership, you know that partner, you know, is the one who makes that call. That's part of his. And maybe it's compensated for by other things in terms of the role of the other partner. That's reasonable. But I can go over to somebody in the street and force him to be my partner, force him to give me capital for a venture when I don't have any framework or relationship with him. I'm not the dominant party. There's no unit. That's what I mean by lack of bitzari. So of course, you're 100% right. The fact that there is a geirushin bal korcha is relevant. The fact that there's a yibum bal korcha is relevant. Right? But the question is, you know, is it relevant enough? Because both on the level of the mitzaref, as I'm calling it, meaning what puts these people together that you can talk about, you know, the domination one over the other of the unit. Where's the unit? As well as, you know, the nature of these kinyanim, you have to assess that. So I'm going to give Mar Makomos to accentuate that first. But first let me get back to, if you don't mind, go ahead. Possibly. Absolutely. That, just like we said, it might be the Nisuin, right? It might be the Pruravu, 100%. Especially if you hold like the Rush, that's a great way to read the Gemara. I absolutely agree. But what I'm saying is, even if you didn't hold like the Rush, it might be the Pruravu. And even if you didn't hold like Rav Avraham and Rambam, that's what I want to point out, it might be the Nisuin. Meaning, what we've labored hard to try to explain, especially for the Rambam, right, is that the Oser part of Ishus, right, according to the Rambam, is key, right, and it's the contribution of Matan Torah, right, and it is a step back before it's a step forward. But the ultimate goal is that it be a step back so that there can be two steps forward, right? The ultimate goal is to outdo Pilegesh and Pre-Matan Torah, right, arrangements. We believe that the ultimate benefit in terms of Ishus, whether it's Nisuin or Period of Arivia, or the interface between the two according to the Rambam, right, is all that is enhanced by what? The Oser and the Kinyan. So what do we just ask? The Mishnah is Aisha Niknes, and the Gemara says that it's based on Kesev, right? And Kesev is only one of three. And if you think no one's counting, they're surely counting on base of a base. And Rishonim already asked that. Moreover, and according to Rabosav Shalrashi, it's only Drabanan. And according to the Rambam, even if it isn't Drabanan, it's not the Mefurish Bakra, it's Divrei Sofrin. So how come Mamon is so dominant in this idea? And we're contorting everything to fit into it. Not contorting. We're meaning the Misa Sabal is a Kenyan, right? And the Ged is a Kenyan. Everything is a Kenyan because Kesef is a Kenyan. We wrote this whole Mishnah and so on just because to accommodate Kesef, which might be Drabanan or might be one of three or might be Divrei Sofrin. Right? That's question number one. And then question number two is, and the Masechta is called Kiddushin, and under the Chuppah you say Harat Mekudeshes, and then they have to do the Ubergesetzung or the he's not here, right? Ubergesetzung of you know Harat Mekud Bishvili Asur Lekola Olam, or better or worse for the Ravid of the Abudram and the Shita Yeshana, what are you saying? You're my Yeshas Ish, right? We've taken, you know, instead of being panuya habala pnuya, right? You know, if we go out of line, it's going to be a not misa, right? But it's going to be a violation of Eishes Ish. So you can understand why he's, you know, saying Tehillim and he's, you know, terrified, you know, the poor guy up there, right? But we want him to be happy. So, what's going on? But the answer is, we've just spent time analyzing, especially the Rambam Shita. But even if you don't go the fullness of the Rambam, part of what the Rambam's saying is agreed by everybody. Just like part of what everybody else is saying is agreed by the Rambam. Meaning the goal is Nisuin. And the goal is Ishus. Not a cold and a formal and a legal one, but the formality, the legality, the security contributing to the real Ishus, to make it a warmer one and a more Kedusha, but intimate one, right? To get really the davak b'ishtav v'hayel b'atzarechad in the period of Arivia sense and the Nisuin sense and all the senses, right? That's what the Rambam, even the Rambam says, livol in Sefer Mitzvot, which I think means to be a baal based on Psukim and Yeshaya, but I also think that it's not a coincidence that it could also be read as livol, maybe it means period of Arivia too and Maisa Bia too. But it's not crude, Chalila, it's the Rambam's way of saying we're doing all of this, you know, for the sake of Chuppah v'kiddushin, in that order, right? So what better way to begin the Masechta than by saying Ha'isha, Niknes? What's the first words of the Rambam about the Misha Nitna Torah? Misha Nitna Torah, Nitztabu, what? What's the word? What's the phrase? What? She'yikne Ha'isha Tchila. And what's the only time that you know that Pilegesh is permitted for Melech is in Hilchos Malachim Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Shekone Osa BeYichud. Right, because the first word of the Masechta is Aisha Niknes, and accentuate I Kesef, and maybe it's only Drabanan, maybe it doesn't matter. The important point, what Kesef, the fact that Kesef works, and by the way, isn't it ironic? Right, Rav Man Gedamanda Mekadish Bebiya. So we understand that very well based on everything we've discussed. Meaning, Bia is the best. It's the Mefurish Bakra. The Rambam says it in Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam says it in Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam says it in Perek Gimel Halacha Kaf. Right? He, as I told you, when he formulates these three, he's very careful to make you understand that they're three different things. the quintessence is bia. You know, shtar is kiddushin too, and kesef works, you know, as an outside import from the world of choshen mishpat. Thank you very much. All right, look at Pirush Rashi, Sefer Mitzvos, Perek Gimel Halacha Chaf. If you read it carefully, he's not saying there are three ways, A, B, and C. Right? So then came what? Rav Mangin Amanda Makadish Mabia. Right? Why? So we discussed it already. Some people have, you know, because of the, you know, the tzniyus of it, yehnei chichud, or the bracha, right? Or the tirda. But pashtus, and certainly the way the Rambam read it, you know, it's the pritzusa means that this is, it's the best and the worst for the same reason. And if you can't pull it off, it's a disaster. Right? It's if you can do it, for the same reason that Bia's Erusin, maybe also Nisuinosa, right? Amazing. And if we paskin Erusinosa, according to the Rambam, there's an Iser Bia after the Bia. It's like the best of both worlds, if you can do it. Meaning, you showed that, you know, this is meant to be a warm Ishus, but you also showed that this is the Kenyan part. There's still two phases. But if you can't pull that off, and it's psychologically very hard to pull that off, right? The Torah is very ambitious. There remains the aspiration. That's why it's kiyivo. But if you can't pull it off completely, you end up with, you know, a Maisa Kedushin that looks like Heter Bia. It's rooted in Isurei Bia. So Rav Mangin Amad Mekadosh, and what took its place as the ubiquitous form of Kedushin? So you would have thought that it would be Shtar, you know, V'yatzav Haisa. According to the Rambam, it's certainly, you know, what happened there? It's quite a, right? It's definitely not Darabanan, right? But that's not what happened. What happened was Kesef became. Why Kesef? The same reason that the one-third of Kesef doesn't even get a one-third question. The answer is because there's something about Kesef that is indispensable to the story here. And that is the fact that it's an import from the world of Choshen Mishpat, that it's a classical Kenyan. Right? What's bad about it, what may be Divrei Sofrim about, not bad, what Divrei Sofrim about it, what downgrades it is also what upgrades it and makes it important. Right? It doesn't have any Ishus component. It's a Choshen Mishpat halacha. At least Kiddushei Shtar is V'yatzav Haisa. It comes from Avinu Ezer. But what makes it weak is also what makes it important, namely, Sheyikne Osa Tchila. It highlights that really this is a Kenyan, not in its sense of ownership, but in the sense of mutual protection, a framework, you know, which inspires confidence, you know, and allows for a personal relationship to grow as a davar shebikdusha without the concern for, you know, shei kalabein avlotzia and so on. The same reason that ksuva is so prominent for the Rambam, although in a way it's drabanan and it's about money, for that very same reason, kinyan kesef is both the lowest and it's important enough to become the ubiquitous or the tone setter for the first Mishnah. It really shows that Kenyan isn't just Kenyan. It's that kind of a Kenyan, but of course, not really that kind of a Kenyan. So that's Haisha Niknes, even for Abosav Shel Rashi, even for the Rambam, even though it's one out of three. In a way, it's kind of what the Gemara answered about Kiddushei Bia, or right. Well, the others are Atu Bia, right? Which, as we say, means what? Means Nesuin, means Piri of Arivia, means the Bia is Mefurish Bakra. Maybe all three, any of those three, and all three. Meaning, right? Bia plays an outsized role here. Even if we don't use it, it plays an outsized role. And Kesef plays an outsized role for a parallel opposite reason. Right, Bia because of the Ishus that it represents, Kesef because of the mominous kinyan that it represents. That's what it is. And that's also why under the chuppah, again, or the mesechta, is asra kula alma kehekdesh. Right? It's not negative campaigning. And it does require a little bit of a, you know, of an interpretation, li bishvili, but the exclusiveness of it is part of the story. And according to the Ravid and the Abu Dram and the Shita Yashana, when he says, you know, it's now Eishes Ish, right? He doesn't have to be so scared, because in a way, what he's really saying is, we're taking this big step backwards so that we can take this, you know, even bigger step forward. So it is true, I'm saying now, the Erisin makes you an Eishes Ish, but soon, in the Nesuin, that's going to pay dividends, right? Chuppah v'kiddushin. So I think that's exactly how the Masechta really begins. So now, let's turn our attention, we're going to stop now, but to the Bal Korcha issue, which is there really a Hava Mina that this kiddushin can be Bal Korcha if it's a kinyan? What kind of kinyan is it? Right? So I gave you a couple things to look at. What did I give you to look at? The Meiri, both his discussion of kinyan and his discussion of Bal Korcha. The Rajba, the Rambam, of course, Perek Dalid. The Rimel O'Neil, I gave you all to look at?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's also add, you'll see here on Beis Amud Beis, you have the Rashi, the Besoros HaShas, right? Quoting Rashi in the Devamos Yud Tes Amud Beis, about why it is that you need Das and Kiddushin for Beyonce Mahaisa. So also he points out the other one on Mem Dalid Amud Aleph. Right, so make sure you see that. Also, the Rashi in Bereishis, you know, in the Rivka story. Where is that exactly? You can find it. What is it? Perik Lamed Dalet or something? Oh no, Chaf Dalet Nun Zayin. Okay. Yeah. I told you to look at Tosfos Ksuvos Beis Amud Aleph and the Shidduch Gubetzos there and the Marshal there. Also look at the Rif and the Riaz and the Shulta Giborim. And look at the famous Ran and the Darim on Lamed Amud Aleph that everybody likes to quote, especially the Ksos, or the Avnei Miluim, about the role of the Isha in the Das and the Kiddushin. The Rambam Hilchos Ishus Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, the Avnei Miluim, Simin Mem Beis Sif Katan Aleph, also the Yad Ramah here on Beis Amud Beis here in Kiddushin, and also the Pisrei Tshuva Pei Zayin Vav. I'm sorry, Chav Zayin Vav. And I do want to speak very quickly again when we did. A couple of years we spoke about this much more extensively, but I do have to talk just for a couple of minutes certainly about it, and that is the question of Eidei Kiyum. So this very quickly, the Gemara in Samech Ayin Beis, we're not going to go into it extensively, but the Gemara is Shaka Batari about Mekadesh Bifnei Dechad Choshen LeKiddushin, Samech Ayin Beis, and Rashi and the Rajba there, how they explain Chav Lachrini, and Reb Chaim in Hilchos Yibum Perek Dalet Halacha Tez Zayin. And the Riazakein here on Dav Yud, what he says about Nisuin. And then we'll add a few other things. But basically, we're trying to figure out how typical is this Kinyan? Is it something that requires more or less Das for the Baal and for the Isha, basically? And also, how does that fit with Gittin, Yibum, and Nisuin, basically? That's our immediate agenda. Okay? So that's for Thursday.